Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Girl, it's amazing just the way you are. The way you are. Everybody's looking at me in the media center like, who's this weirdo? I'm like, it's me.
Hey, we know that weirdo.
That's our weirdo.
It's our weirdo. He's your weirdo. He's NASCAR's weirdo. He's the people's weirdo. Kenny Wallace with us. Kenny, how are you?
I'm doing good. So, you know, no different than you all. I travel every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I have my phone full of music. So now I'm stuck on Elton John. And, gosh, he had so many hits. And I like his music now. But, yeah, that was in the NASCAR Media Center at Atlanta. And C.J. Wolliver, who is in charge of all the social media for Fox, he was there. And, you know, I'm a goofball and having a good time. So he goes, hey, let me record that. I said, oh, my Lord. So that's when that happened.
You know what? It's funny. We were talking earlier about people like Bill Walton, Dick Vitale, like that have an on-air persona. And then what are they like off-air? Is it different? I think you're exactly the same, whether you're on the radio, on Twitter, in person, at the Applebee's, at the Chili's. At a truck stop. I feel like you're the same. And your wife's probably like, stop it, honey. Stop being Kenny Wallace. But you're kind of exactly what you are on TV is who you are in real life.
You know, that goes way back. I was given a speech in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the great Ned Jarrett. Ned is, I don't know, in his 80s now. He was a NASCAR champion. And I stood up, and my God, there must have been 1,000 people in there. And of course, I was scared to death. And I don't know what the talk was about. And afterwards, he said, did you do any, what was that, speech? I forgot the name of that company that, you know, it helps you face your fears when you're standing in front of
a Dale Carnegie.
Yes. And he said, did you do any Dale Carnegie classes? And I didn't know what that was. I said, no. And we started talking about it. And I said, you know, I said, I get so nervous. Just like anybody, I get so jacked up that I found if I'm just me, it works. And, you know, and I studied both of you on TV. And I mean, like when I, especially you, Martin, I mean, you're as loose as a goose on TV. You know, I mean, you just let her eat. And I find out that that's easier. And I think people relate with it better.
What about me? Chuck, I mean, Kenny, what about me? Come
about
on,
Chuck?
Man.
No, you're younger. Charlie,
let me tell you, you're really good. And I mean that, but I just think that, like, when I watch Martin sit down at the desk, it's like he's just talking, you know? It's weird. Like, you know, I think that you're really good and you report the news and you do a good job with sports. But when I watch Martin, you can just tell that it's like, okay, here we go. And he just kind of sits down and talks. But that doesn't mean that you're not good. I think you're great. I'm just saying he's a looser.
Okay, looser. I'll take that. Thank you, sir.
That's fair. And Chuck's a handsome devil, too. People like see the Chuck on the desk. All right, I want to ask you about something that's going on in NASCAR, because they've tried this stages thing. And I don't think people and I understand the idea, because you have periods in hockey, you have quarters in basketball, and it's kind of that same idea. But it does seem like, and I think Jimmy Johnson got mad about it in Daytona, where some of the younger drivers think, oh, I got to win this stage, I got to win this stage. Nobody tries to win the quarter in basketball or the period in hockey, like where they go crazy right at the end. I mean, you want to score a goal, but has it led to some confusion, even with the drivers, as to the importance of those stages?
You know, we got to go back to last year. So you said everything perfectly, so I'm not going to repeat it. What we found out was our champion last year, Martin Truex, he ran good all the time. I mean, just he ran good all the time. Well, at the end of the year, you know, every time you win a stage, you get these bonus points. And you bring up a really good point that I never really thought about. But, you know, if the St. Louis Cardinals are leading after three innings. They don't get anything. They're just leading. Well, in NASCAR, if you're leading after 40 laps, you get something. You get these bonus points, and then you accumulate these bonus points. So all these young kids, they've been watching this play out. And Martin Truex, he won the championship. He got to the end of the year because he accumulated all these bonus points. So now all these young kids are treating every stage of these races. So let's keep it simple. Let's say it's a 90-lap race. So they drop the green flag, and at lap 30, they throw the checkered. Oh, and whoever's leading gets these bonus points. And, these bonus points accumulate. So it's just really big. It's like saving money. You save a penny every day, and then all of a sudden, in 5 years, you got a lot. And it's the same thing. So these kids see that, oh, my God, I've got to do good in these 30 laps. And I've got to tell you, that's what NASCAR wanted. They wanted these drivers to just go crazy every lap because we were losing our fan base. The fans would say, NASCAR's boring. I can go make a sandwich, come back, take a nap. So we're trying to make it to where every lap matters, and boy, is it ever.
And, Kenny, going back years when you kind of had some of the older drivers in NASCAR, back to Dale Sr. and Mark Martin and maybe your brother Rusty as well, and I'm looking up Kevin Harvick, who won at Atlanta, that he and Jimmy Johnson are the oldest drivers, is this right, at 42 years old, they're the oldest drivers in the Cup Series?
Yeah, and, I guess I'm kind of the one. There's a Twitter account, and I guess another website. It's called Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T-T, whatever. I'm too hyperactive to really get into it and see what Reddit is, but they put this stat up before Daytona, and it blew my mind. It's like what you just said. Can you believe our oldest race car driver in NASCAR is only 42? Now, that would sound old if you're playing, baseball, hockey, football, but in racing, man, you're right there now. I mean, 42 is a good age because it means you know a lot. It means you kind of know what's going to happen. And most drivers don't retire until, 48, and that's pretty much it. But nowadays, with the way athleticism is and all the, things that make the human body better, it's hard because, the athletes are just getting younger and younger. So, it's like everything in life, but especially in NASCAR. If you want to stay in the game, it's about well-being, taking care of your body. And I'll tell you, Harvick is 42, and, man, he just ran circles around everybody. He dominated. He won everything in Atlanta. And you're right. He's the oldest driver out there.
And Kenny Dale Jr. retires at a young age, relatively young age. Jeff Gordon retires at a relatively young age. I'm looking up Dale Sr., and when he unfortunately passed, he was, what, almost 50 years 50. Old. Do you know how much yeah. longer he had planned on racing?
I do. It was a deal when we lost Dale Sr., I didn't want to go around, I mean, obviously I was very close to Dale Sr. That was my very first NASCAR race car was driving Dale Sr.'s number 8 GM Goodrich Chevrolet in the Xfinity Series. So I knew Dale, but when you know somebody that good and they pass away, you don't go running around, hey, I knew him more than you, just not the way I do it. So I was privy, and he was literally talking about it at that exact time with my brother Rusty. They were both talking about, 50, 51, and they were pretty serious. So, listen, I wish Dale Earnhardt Jr. was on the phone right now, but I think Jr. would tell you that, yeah, Dad had mentioned it. It was looking like, maybe a year or two more. So I think Dale Sr. would have went to 52 is, after doing all the talking to him and, him talking to my brother Rusty, I think that's what Sr. was going to do.
This week, heading out to Vegas, so you'll be going out there, what, Thursday? What's the NASCAR crowd like in Vegas? Is it the same vibe anytime you get to the track and they're the diehards, or is there a little different feel out west?
It's bigger, and there is a different feel out west, and I'll tell you why. they come from like Oregon and Canada. Obviously, you know, geography, we lose track how big the United States is. You know, a lot of those fans out there in Oregon, you know, over there in Canada, this is their chance. They love this West Coast swing because the whole Northwest crowd, you know, they drive on down, come on down, however you want to say it. They'll come down to, you know, Vegas this weekend, and then you got Phoenix the next week, and, you know, California. So this is what we call, you know, NASCAR goes west, and it is definitely a different crowd. They're more excited than the normal Midwest East crowd because we race so much on the East Coast and the Midwest. So this is their chance to shine, and buddy, they will pack that Las Vegas Speedway, and they've been packing it so much that, you know, the new schedule this year is that we run two times at Vegas this year, and all the previous years we only ran the Cup Series out there 1 year. So Vegas is going to have a second date, and that is going to be in the playoffs. So, yeah, that's the reason they got the second date is because of what you said. The crowd is more excited, more people, and it's fresh.
And people probably love going to Vegas. So if you're a NASCAR fan, you put
you just put it on
the schedule. Like, hey, I got a chance to go to Vegas and see NASCAR. Roll it all into one. Kenny Wallace, you can see him on Fox Sports 1. They have the coverage always on Saturdays, pre-race coverage on Sundays, and then the network takes over in the afternoon. Now, Barry, the lead, where are you today? Are we at – I feel like you might be at home, but lately you've been at home more than the Chili's, Applebee's. What was our – oh, Ruby Tuesday used to be the spot.
Well, I am at home. The grandbaby's here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and, you know, I know it sounds crazy. I've been back in St. Louis a little over a year now, so I finally got a doctor. And, you know, talking about well-being and drivers staying young, I'm used to a physical every year. So this morning I just got all my blood drawn, and we're going to take a look at where my sugar level is, my cholesterol. And I'm getting ready to go eat a real late lunch. I'm up here in the race shop, and, man, I just don't like the shop to get messy. So I'm kind of cleaning up, emptying the trash, and getting ready for the dirt racing season.
And I told you the other day on Twitter, you have plenty of nicknames. Herm, people that know him well call him Herm. He's the Herminator. But I said he's always promoting and talking about dirt track racing. I said, I'm going to start calling him Dirty because you're the best promoter of the dirt tracks that I've seen.
Well, you know, just real quick, the reason I do that is because dirt racing is so poor, so broke, and that's where all the great athletes start, right? So, I mean, if you see your favorite athlete, whether it's a Cardinal or a Blue, man, they started somewhere. I mean, they started somewhere. And, you know, so these dirt tracks, they barely hang on. They're always poor ass broke. And I feel bad for them. And it's my job to promote these racetracks so they can stay alive. And that's the single number one reason I do it. I just don't want any dirt track to go by the wayside because this is where the great athletes start.
And we've got great dirt tracks throughout this whole area. Kenny, good to talk to you. Have fun in Vegas.
Okay, Charlie, looking forward to seeing you on the news, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I'll be watching this weekend.
Thank you, man. Okay, bye-bye, gang.
All right, Tuesdays with Kenny, one of our favorite staples on the Power Hour that is the Midday Grind. He's kind of my Stuart Smalley. I could have a terrible show, you know, look back last night, watch the show back, although Charlie does that more than I do because he's more vain, but I'll, you know, watch the show back.
It's not a matter of vanity. It's critiquing, okay, the product. Sometimes you wear a sport coat or a tie where you say, man, I got to drop a few pounds. Maybe that shirt doesn't work. Maybe
you're talking about me or you?
No, I look at this for myself, but I think for all personalities it helps. I'm sure Kenny does the same thing, goes back, looks at a segment, what could I have done better, what did I like, what don't I like. I think he felt bad for me at the end there.
No, I think he did. Clearly he's like my Stuart Smalley, though, because no matter how bad a show could be, I can have a terrible interview. He's like, Martin, real quick, I really enjoyed your visit the other — who was the guy you had on the show? Yeah, that was a real good interview. I'm like, was it? I don't know. Pumping some tires. I love it.
Love that interview with the head basketball coach I just met.
Yep,
fantastic stuff.
Chuck's a younger guy. He's got a bright future. You don't need, like, the older guy. The older guys need pats
kidding.
On the back, okay?
I was kidding.
Hey, let's pat Bertarelli Cutlery on the back because they're one of our great sponsors here on the program.
Love Bertarelli Cutlery.
They need a nickname. Oh, they have one.
Sharp City. They're Sharp City right down there on the hill, 1927 Marconi on the web, BertarelliCutlery.com. go there for all your knife sharpening needs, but that's not all that they do. You can buy some brand new knives there if you'd like. And they have their other division, Bertarelli Paper Co., Martin. You can get your kind of disposable items, trash can liners, hygienic gloves, and all those things. So you got your knives, you got your disposable items, Bertarelli Cutlery, Bertarelli Paper Co. Check them out on the web, BertarelliCutlery.com, and in person, 1927 Marconi, on the hill, Love Sharp City.
Doug Armstrong was there yesterday. He said, I got some disposable items. You guys need them? Anybody? I love Kenny saying, there's this thing called Reddit. It'd be like me. Remember this thing out there called the Facebook?
I have never been on Reddit.
Nor have I, but I've heard of it.
I know it's what, like a message board deal?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a message board deal, but honestly, it's become my go-to over Wikipedia if I need to just find random stuff.
For what? Are you buying things?
No, anything. Just any topic, question, theory, thought process you could have about something.
How does the toaster work?
There's a thread on, let's just check it.
What day is today?
Isn't it random people, though, kind of passing conspiracy theories usually?
At times.
Yes.
I'm fine with never going to Reddit unless they're a sponsor. How about that?
There is. Okay, so on Reddit
12 o'clock
on Reddit right now, how do the numbers on toasters work? How does a toaster timer work? How does the frozen button on what does the frozen button on my toaster do? And how does it work?
Why is my toaster racist?
How does a fork in a toaster kill you?
How does Jim Nantz like his toast? See, now you're down. You're fully down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. So it's like a how-to, though? See, I just go to YouTube.
It's not a how-to. No, it's just anything and everything it could be on that you could think of. Any question you could have,
who
any topic
answers
you
it,
want
though? To like, at least in Wikipedia, it's made up, but we don't know who did it.
It's a collection of
Russian
people
bots.
all over the website. It's one of the largest forums in the entire world, and quite literally, you can find topics about everything. Like what show are you watching on Netflix that you and Frank are talking about?
Well, we did Retribution, which is now done. It was a short series. And now we're on to 7 Seconds, the story of Rick Pitino. Now, 7 Seconds made by the same people who did The Killing. We just started watching that. Anybody else watching 7 Seconds? Anybody?
When you say we, do you mean like you and your wife?
My wife and I, even though Frank said earlier, imagine you guys are split up. I'm like, thanks, Frank. And earlier he's like, imagine Charlie is better at TV and get your job. I'm like, Frank, thanks. Every example Frank has is either me losing my job or losing my wife. Those are the examples. Frank says, hypothetically, your wife leaves you for a better-looking man.
You could have one meal. And also, would you rather be at Mizzou for the Vanderbilt game?
Yes.
Down there in Fort Myers.
I have to say,
I don't think Kenny will be mad about this. Kenny just texted me personally to say that I was good on TV.
I think he feels bad.
I think he thinks I was being serious. Kenny, if you're listening, I was just joking.
Charlie's
Martin's funny. Okay.
Charlie's got.
I was totally kidding. Love Kenny Walls.
The one thing about Chuck, Chuck's my guy, but confidence is not an issue. So he didn't.
I don't know about that. Maybe that's all superficial.
Maybe you're like Dick Vitale.
And on the inside,
it's a shield. Chuck's got a shell around him, a superficial shell.
I am a triggered millennial,
and then
correct?
On the inside, he's very soft and broken.
You're like the blues players when Army said yesterday, well, they've been thinking too much. They've had a lot on their plate, and now they can just stop thinking.
Chuck, I apologize. I gave you a Bronx cheer on your last sportscast, and I feel like it hurt your feelings.
Unbelievable. Hey, can we get back to the blues
the
real quick?
It's Prep Zone. I'm Chuck Marlowe. And then it's always like, guys, did that show kind of suck tonight? Did I stumble on those highlights?
If you have a bad show, you have 6 more shows. You just look forward to the next one.
Correct.
I just want to say real quick.
Real quick.
Over the weekend, Kyle Brodziak, remember, made a comment where sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to do. And I understand that that sounds really bad. All I want to say is this. As somebody who, when the Blues are home, I usually go to either a skate or a practice before a game. And I will just say that Kyle Brodziak, for the last couple of years, is one of the guys that is always there, accountable, and talking to the media. And I understand maybe fans don't care about that, but he is always willing to stand up and be a spokesperson for the team, and that is not the case with a lot of athletes for the Blues and other sports as well. I just want that to be known, that Kyle Brodziak is always there, ready to talk, and ready to represent the St. Louis Blues.
And because he's the one always talking, he ends up saying something like, well, we don't really know how to fix it. Then everyone's, what is he talking about? Well, because he's always got to talk, because most of you guys just hide after games.
Correct.
Blues play the Wild tonight. Jake Allen is in net. Michael Porter Jr., unknown at this time. It's funny because we want Porter to play. We don't want Jake to play. Sometimes in life, you don't get what you want. You do if you go to Schnucks. In fact, you have the Taste of Italy going on right now. A lot of fun at every Schnucks location. They're also great sponsors of our High School Athlete of the Week. You heard the visit yesterday, Kevin Walsh. I had no idea Trent Green held the record at Vianney from most points in a basketball game until that was recently passed by C.J. Paul. High
versus
school
CBC.
What's that?
Wasn't that game against CBC?
I think it was against Chaminade. Not to be that
guy. No, Trent Green's was CBC.
Oh, Trent Green's was. I'm sorry. Yes. See, now I corrected the correction, and I was wrong. The point is we learned something thanks to Schnucks. High School Athlete of the Week. You can vote online at 590thefan.com and stop by Schnucks for all your needs. If you're going to a party, Chuck, you're a busy guy. You're a diaper dandy now. You got to go buy.
Hey, baby, pick up some dips, some chips and dips, some guacamole. Coach Krzyzewski, Patino.
They've got people who can help you pick out the wine. Maybe you'd like to pick up some kind of different beer. You're going to your buddy's house instead of bringing the same old, same old. Stop by Schnucks. Great selection. Dips, chips, you name it, wine, beer, great selection, great people, our friends at Schnucks. Right now, it's time for the end of the day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to be happy.
Martin, you asked for this. This is on sports.bovada.lv, Amazon headquarters HQ2, your leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Guess.
Are they co-leaders?
No. No, it was one leader and then one
leader. And it's
leader.
Not Nashville?
No.
Isn't Nashville close, though?
Not so much anymore.
Okay, when it first was released, I saw that Nashville was the odds-on favorite.
It dipped.
At something like plus 800.
Not anymore.
So, okay. Number one.
Can we? Is it a big city or not?
Austin, Texas.
It's a region.
It's a region. Oh, no. Is it like North Virginia?
Yeah, Northern Virginia. Austin, Texas. Northern Virginia plus 260. Austin comes in at second at plus 350. I'd imagine most people in Austin would not want Amazon there because it is congested enough.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about the traffic. You know what? If I'm Mayor Crewson, I'd say, you know, we didn't want it, okay? We don't need the MLS. We don't need Amazon.
You know, have you ever been on 40 near Big Bend in Brentwood?
Farty.
It's congested.
That
really
whole
bad. We don't need Amazon
lockup.
Here.
Oh, especially during the holiday season.
Yeah.
Near the Galleria. I used to live right there, and trying to get to Highway Farty was a Farty. Nightmare. By the way, speaking of Bovada, I just checked. Vanderbilt, a 1-point favorite.
Well,
wouldn't you take Mizzou getting a point and maybe MPJ, I should say, not miles per gallon, what? Plays tonight?
Diaper fund, throw 50 tonight on Mizzou.
Miami, Florida,
I think I'm going to
underdog
a little bit.
For Amazon HQ2. They are plus 4,000. Nashville plus 2,500. I'm not sure what has changed to alter the rankings in such a way, but it has dipped down to plus 2,500. We were talking about Bill Walton earlier. His little fun statements during the Oregon Arizona game. This reminded me of this exchange. This is during a Los Angeles Laker Phoenix Sun game in 2006. Final minute, Suns up by 10. This is what Bill Walton. Keep in mind who was on the court. So you had like Steve Nash, you had Kobe Bryant. Great players participating in it. This was the player that Bill Walton wanted to single out.
How's that bell? Robert Sarver from San Diego, University of Arizona, bought the team from Jerry Colangelo, and the vision to somehow acquire Boris Diaw. And when you look at Boris Diaw, what he's done to this franchise, he's changed everything. And as we celebrate his brilliance, and when you talk to Boris Diaw, what a classical human being he is. It was 201 years ago today.
Yeah.
That Beethoven's Symphony No. 3 in E flat, which which escorted in the age of romanticism in music. And when I look at Boris Diaw, I think of Beethoven and the age of the romantics. This guy has got it all.
Boris Diaw, by the way, averaged just over 13 points a game that year.
Solid
the
player.
Phoenix Suns.
But you had what? Steve Nash, Amari
Stoudemire. I looked
probably
only three games.
Sean Marion.
I think that was the year of the bad knees
yes,
for Amari.
In fairness, there are players on that Suns team who credit Boris Diaw with being one of the most important players.
Though none of them compared him to Beethoven.
No.
And saying that he was ushering in some age of romanticism in the NBA.
But that's why I love Bill Walton. You never know what he's going to say. It's fantastic.
If you listen very closely, I think it's Mike Tirico on the call. You can hear him kind of laugh and go, oh, God. In that clip when he realizes that Bill's about to drift away from the game.
Well, Boris Diaw was in Harlem with Bob Gibson. All of a sudden now, Bill Walton is reminding me of McCarver.
Can we get a Cardinal game with Danny Mac, Bill Walton, and Tim
yes.
McCarver?
Oh my God.
That would be awesome.
And all you need is Bill to say, 200 years ago, well, remember what happened with classical music And this is like sweet music right now with Waka's changeup.
And who's the guy that we always mention? Is it Maurice?
Chevalier.
Chevalier.
Oh, yeah, Dan. Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Big fan.
How would Dan broadcast that game? How would he get words in?
Just, up and just leave. Do the play-by-play. Strike one, and then Bill Walton goes on a diatribe for 45 seconds. Strike two.
Marcel is like a sequoia, like 3-2 pitch here. Like, speaking of sequoias, remember one time when I had Lonnie Smith and we were in the Sequoia Forest?
I believe what you're telling me is that we need Bill Walton to one-man booth a baseball game.
With Tim McCarver.
I would listen to Bill Walton talk about anything. And when we were discussing this yesterday, Frank Cusumano said that he has Bill Walton's, I believe, autobiography on an audiobook where it's something like 16 or 19 hours. Mm. And he said it's fantastic because he just, you know, he reads the book, but then he goes off on tangents and probably talks about the trees in the forest and all that. I want
to
get it now.
He's on a break now, Frank is, but that, he listens to a lot of audiobooks because he'll travel and drive to his kids' college games. So starting next year, whenever Dom starts playing, he'll pick it back up again where he'll listen to all these books on audio tapes. Then I get text, get the author. Okay.
But I believe Bill Walton when he says that. And first of all, why was he at the Malice at the Palace? Was he doing NBA games?
He was broadcasting the game.
Okay.
He used to do ESPN basketball,
right.
NBA games.
But the fact that I really believe him when he said that he was so depressed about that he stayed in his bedroom for 2.5 weeks. He was so sad about the state of basketball.
During the broadcast, he says this is embarrassing for the NBA. I think it was around the time Ron Artest ran into the crowd and was beating a guy.
Right.
Up.
That was the whole Malice Palace.
Oh, yeah.
But this is neither here nor there, but I've wondered what is it like to be married to Bill Walton? You know, you're having breakfast and like, what is the meaning of honeycomb? Like, he just goes off on a tangent. I believe his wife is a really small Asian woman, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh. Bill
is that
Walton?
Right? Yeah. You guys looked it up. Go to Reddit, if you would.
But his sons don't look Asian. Am I wrong
on
that?
Maybe it's a second wife. I'm not sure.
It is a second wife. Lori Matsuka, Bill's wife. Real quick. Oscars are this Sunday. 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri, which Martin, you've recently found out is not a real place.
That's
thanks
Christ.
To a Twitter user. The Philadelphia 76ers, the fans, you know who they want? They want LeBron James. You know what Sixers fans just did? They bought 3 billboards outside of Cleveland, Ohio to try to lure LeBron James to Philadelphia. One is the starting lineup with 23 written on it. One says, complete the process. And one goes, hashtag, Philly wants LeBron.
The big one is the little crown. On the 23, because you have to play into LeBron's self-nickname.
And finally, the Cash Evans Kansas basketball.
For Luke Benesh, a three.
Good! Almost like they knew what they were doing all along. They won again last night, beating Texas. They are cruising towards the tournament.
The Shaka Smart luster wearing off just a bit.
A lot, wouldn't you say? That guy was the next big thing. Goes down there
they
and...
They were without their best player.
Not much. That's Mo Bamba.
Joe Lenardi has him as a one seed with a possible 8-9 matchup against either Butler or Mizzou in the second round.
That would
and
be
that
awesome.
Is the end of the day.
All right, that's also the end of the Midday Grind. Coming up, it's the hard line right here. Chuck, I think you do a great job.
Oh,
in fact,
thanks,
John
buddy.
Mozeliak said you're great.
Yeah.
What more do you need?
I just need to build up that confidence. One of these days, I'll have some self-confidence.
The hard line coming up next here on 590 The Fan.
Yeah.